Chapter 24, X for X-ray. X-ray examinations tell us a lot about the state of our bodies. They can detect broken bones, lung problems, heart problems, and even some forms of cancer. Though everything may look fine from the outside, an X-ray machine will reveal what is really going on inside our bodies. When it comes to examining our minds, we have a far more powerful tool, the Word of God. Sharper than any two-edged sword, it discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart, Hebrews 4, verse 12. To the onlooker, we may be doing a good job of appearing godly. We may even be persuading ourselves that we are doing just fine. But the sword of the Spirit reveals who we really are inside. It highlights our pride, arrogance, envy, and lust. And it does so by comparing who we are with who God is. For this reason, it is important that we regularly and honestly examine our thoughts and intentions, using the Word of God as our guide. In order to determine the damage done to our physical bodies, doctors need to know what a physically healthy body looks like. Similarly, if we are to recognize our character flaws, we need to know what a spiritually healthy body looks like. Scripture tells us how to live our lives, but the Word made flesh shows us how to put this into practice. Jesus' life is the benchmark against which we must measure our thoughts and actions. An honest spiritual X-ray will highlight that, regardless of how much progress we feel we are making, we constantly miss the mark. Try as we might, we succumb to temptation, for the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew 26, verse 41. Reconciled by his death. What a comfort it is, then, to know that God does not hold our sinful thoughts and intentions against us, but has reconciled us to himself through the blood of his Son. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Psalm 103, verses 10 to 12. God is not blind to our sin when he searches our hearts and tests our minds. He sees the wickedness inside each one of us. Yet for those who are in Christ, he has chosen to reconcile to himself all things, making peace by the blood of his, Christ's, cross. Colossians 1, verse 20. Though we were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, we are presented holy and blameless and above reproach before God. Verse 22. When God X-rays us, he chooses to see Christ in us. Though we were dead in our trespasses, God has made us alive together with Christ, having forgiven all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. God will never again call our forgiven sins to mind or hold them against us. They have been blotted out, Acts 3, verse 19, and trodden underfoot, cast into the depths of the sea, Micah 7, verse 19. But there are conditions attached to this grace and forgiveness. We only remain in Christ if indeed we continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that we have heard. Colossians 1, verse 23. Things that are above. When we were baptized into Christ, we put on Christ. All our trespasses were forgiven, and we were raised from death to life. We put on the new self, that we too might walk in newness of life. But this was just the beginning of being a disciple of Christ. For if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. In these you too once walked, but now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Colossians 3, verses 1, 5, 7, and 8. Baptism does not take away neutral impulses. It does not automatically change the way we think. Although God may have eliminated our sins, we still have to seek to remove all unrighteousness from our lives if we are to develop the mind of Christ. See 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16, Philippians 2, verse 5. To have the mind of Christ, it is to deny the flesh, to be utterly selfless, and to put to death all that is earthly. Before we can begin to put to death the things of the flesh, we must recognize and acknowledge them in ourselves. 1 Corinthians 11 says, "Let a person examine himself, then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Verse 28. Each week, as we remember the Lord Jesus, we consider the perfect, sinless life he lived, serving God and others. We think of his self-denial to the extent that he gave his life for his friends. We are encouraged to take up our own cross of self-sacrifice. This kind of spiritual x-ray is an essential part of our discipleship and ought to be something we do daily, not just at memorial meeting. We do this by arming ourselves with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and by looking to the example of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. This is yet another reason why daily Bible reading is so vital for the disciple of Christ. Goals. In an earlier chapter, we considered the theme of goals, including a list of scriptural standards for godly living, towards which we should be aiming. See accompanying list at the end of the chapter. Consider these again and ask. 1. Has there been a time recently when I have failed to keep this commandment? 2. To what extent did I allow selfishness and pride to get in the way? There is as much focus on self when we feel inferior as there is when we feel superior. 3. Can I think of a time when Jesus fulfilled this commandment? 4. How might I follow his example? 5. What will I do this week to put to death the old man and to put on the mind of Christ? Regular, honest self-examination like this is sobering and affects us in a number of ways. It might make us feel hopeless, since we shall never be perfect this side of the kingdom, and will inevitably give in to temptation. We might question whether there is any point in even trying to overcome the flesh and deny self. Of course there is. If we love God's law, we will desire to keep it. God asks us to serve him with a whole heart and willing mind, for he searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. When God examines the heart, he does not only see faults, but also intentions. He knows where our loyalties lie. He looks for those who live according to the Spirit and who set their minds on things of the Spirit. Romans 8, verse 5. God compares our hearts and minds to those of the Lord Jesus, who is the exact imprint of God's nature. Hebrews 1, verse 3. He is searching for that family likeness, for his sons and daughters who honor him by striving to be like him. Far from feeling hopeless or becoming complacent, this ought to compel us to raise the expectations we have of ourselves. It is not enough to give in because failure is inevitable, or because God understands how hard this is, or because I know God will forgive me. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, chapter 12, verse 4, which means we are not fighting sin as fervently as we could be. We know that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3, verse 23. The more we take up the sword of the Spirit and x-ray our hearts and minds, the more aware of this we become. We enter each new day determined to serve God with whole hearts and willing minds, so that he might see a part of himself in us. Those who are forgiven much. The alternative response is one of thankfulness, love, and not a little relief. Knowing that God understands the state of our hearts, yet has chosen us to be his sons and daughters, we can drop a facade, face our weaknesses, and pray for help to endure temptations. Sins are confessed with sorrow and humility, and we are comforted to know that the Father's forgiveness knows no limit. As we truly repent, we will be truly forgiven. The more we can learn to search our hearts and minds and acknowledge our failings, the more aware we shall be of how loving, forgiving, and merciful our Heavenly Father is. And the more aware of his love we become, the more compelled we shall feel to reciprocate that love. For those who are forgiven much, love much. Luke 7, verses 42, 43, and 47. And so we are to invite God into our thoughts and hearts. To hide from him would not only be futile, but would show a lack of trust in his love. We are to acknowledge how far short we fall and ask Him to help us to change. Our daily prayer becomes, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24. I will not be ashamed of the gospel. Romans 1, verse 16. Not let sin reign in my body. Romans 6, verse 12. Delight in the law of God in my innermost being. Romans 7, verse 22. Not become proud. Romans 11, verse 20. Live peaceably with all. Romans 12, verse 18. Glorify God in my body. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. Be free from anxieties. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 32. Exercise self-control in all things. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. Do everything in love. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 14. Not lose heart when afflicted. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 and 17. Widen my heart. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 13. Cleanse myself of every defilement of body and spirit. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Give generously and cheerfully. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 2, 3, and chapter 9, verse 7. Be humble, gentle, patient, and loving. Ephesians 4, verse 2. Forgive others. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Be thankful. Ephesians 5, verse 4. Count others more significant than myself. Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. Not grumble. Philippians 2, verse 15. Rejoice in the Lord always. Philippians 4, verse 4. Learn to be content in all situations. Philippians 4, verse 11. Seek the things that are above. Colossians 3, verse 1. Not be angry. Colossians 3, verse 8. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through Him. Colossians 3, verse 17. Work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Colossians 3, verse 23. Make the best use of time. Colossians 4, verse 5. Not speak to please man, but to please God. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 4. Control my body in holiness and honor, not filled with lust. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 4 and 5. Live quietly, minding my own business. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11. Encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Not quarrel, but be kind to everyone. 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. Patiently reprove, rebuke, and exhort. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Be submissive to rulers and authorities. Titus 3, verse 1. Speak evil of no one. Titus 3, verse 2. Keep my life free from love of money and be content with what I have. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Reading recommended. Dennis Gillette, The Genius of Discipleship, Chapter 1, Be Ye Transformed. Questions and suggestions. 1. Do you examine your motives, thoughts, and behavior on a daily and weekly basis? Is your examination thorough or regular enough? 2. What areas in your life require improvement? 3. Do you feel ashamed and repentant when your conscience is pricked, or do you put up defense barriers? 4. Perhaps you no longer feel bad about a particular sin. How could the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, help there? 5. How hard do you really try to avoid giving in to temptation? Is it unlikely that you would have yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood? Hebrews 12, verse 4. 6. What one step forward will you take this week?